In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today as I proclaim the Word of God. One of the words that we're going to be hearing today is, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Imagine, we are loved the way that God the Father loves God the Son. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This is reality. This is the truth. I pray, God, you would let us experience this reality. As the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus has loved us. I'm reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the readings that we had on Sunday. "Then Peter entered Cornelius' house and met him. And falling at his feet, Cornelius paid homage. But Peter raised him up, saying, 'Get up, I myself am only a man.'" In other words, Cornelius wanted to worship Peter, but Peter says, "Listen, I'm only a man." Then Peter began to speak and said, "In truth, I see God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts rightly is acceptable to him." Remember that Peter had this vision on top of the roof of unclean animals, and God said, "Eat." And while Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Now, I'm telling you, the things he was speaking is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. As Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the word. How do they know that the Holy Spirit fell upon them? The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also. In other words, "My Lord, what's God doing? He's pouring out his Spirit upon the Gentiles." How did they know he was pouring out his Spirit? For they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God, just as on the day of Pentecost. When Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" he ordered them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God shows no partiality when it comes to conversion. He wants to convert Jew. He wants to convert Gentile. He wants to convert sinners. All sinners need to be converted. That's everybody that walks the face of the earth. We all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember, Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. The responsorial psalm we're given is, "Sing a new song unto the Lord, for he has done wondrous deeds." Well, you know what? Let's sing a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. "Wonderful God, wonderful Lord, send your Spirit upon us. Wonderful God, wonderful Lord, send your Spirit upon us. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost." Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has made his salvation known in the sight of the nations. In other words, that the nations, the Gentiles, come to believe in the Lord. He has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That's Jew and Gentile. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise. So it is God's will that all men, women, and children come to know Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of their sins. It is God's will for you and for me. The second reading was from St. John. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God. I told you yesterday, love is something that you do. It's not something that you say only. Everyone who loves is begotten of God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent His only Son into the world that He might have life, we might have life through Him. So, see, God shows His love by doing something. What does He do? He sends Jesus into the world as the expiation for our sin. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and sent His Son as an expiation for our sin. In other words, God shows His love by doing something, by sending Jesus to us. Do you know that Jesus was sent for you? Do you know that Jesus gave His life for you? Do you know that Jesus has a plan for you? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. When you call on Me, when you seek Me with all of your heart, you will find Me with you, says the Lord. We're doing the Gospel, John 15, verse 9 through 17. Jesus said to His disciples, "As the Father has loved Me, so I have loved you." Oh, I don't want to go any further. As the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves you. All of you. Louis, Frank, Francis, Maureen, Josephine, Marie, as the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus have loved us. Remain in My love. How? If you keep in My commandments, you will remain in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you this so that My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is the night before He died. Jesus had joy. I have told you this so that My joy may be in you, and your joy might be complete. This is My commandment. Love one another. How? As I have loved you, even unto death, you know? No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are My friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from My Father. It was not you who chose Me, but I chose you. It all starts with God, and appointed you to go and bear what? Fruit. Fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. This is My commandment. Love one another. Again, love is something that you do. It's not something that you say. You can say you love people all you want, but if you do not do something, you do not love them. Love is something that you do. Faith working through love, that's what it's all about. Love is something that you do, not something that you say. Excuse me. We're on Acts 27, verse 39, the shipwreck. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if were possible, to thrust the ship into it. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. They threw themselves into the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which would swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some of the on board, some of the broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Remember what Paul told them. Paul said, no one's going to die. The ship will be wrecked, but no one's going to die. Chapter 28. And when they had escaped, they knew that the island was called Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on Paul's hand. So Paul is being bitten by a viper. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom through he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not him to live." In other words, this guy is a bad man. That's why the snake bit him. But Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And they looked when he should have got swollen or fallen down dead. Suddenly, after they looked a great while, saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds, and they said he was a god. They go from a devil to a god. And then Paul's going to say, you know, I'm no god. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. This is the Lord always using Paul. I understand that in Malta, they're all the boys' names. Many of the boys' names are Paul, because Paul stopped at Malta after the ship was wrecked. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick with the fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So we're having a healing party now. Paul has the gift of healing. Jesus said, "You shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. You shall handle snakes, and it shall not harm them." And the snake that he meant was, if you're on a missionary journey and a snake bites you, like a viper bites you, you won't die. Why? Because you're on a missionary journey. You're not going to handle snakes just to handle them. That's foolish. And when he had done others also, which had diseases in the island, they came to be healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. They gave them what they needed. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after one day the south wind blew, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. In other words, there's Christians there. And so we went toward Rome. Now, that's what Paul wanted to do. He wanted to go to Rome. Why? He wanted to appeal to Caesar. He wanted to witness to Caesar, just like he witnessed to Agrippa, just like he witnessed to Festus. Let's continue. Paul in Rome. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners and the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, what do you think he's going to do? He said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, to speak with you," what, about Jesus, about his death, about his burial, about his resurrection, "because that hope of Israel, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." What is the hope of Israel? That the Messiah would come and be the Redeemer and be the Deliverer. I am in chains because of the hope of Israel. I know who the hope of Israel is. His name is Jesus. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of you. But we desire to hear what you think. For as concerning this sect, we know that everyone where it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Okay, he wants to tell them about Jesus. He wants them to become Christians, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. So Paul used the scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. What scriptures would he have used? The Psalms, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some did not believe. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken the word. And Paul said, well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hear and hear, and you shall not understand. See and see, and you shall not perceive. For this heart of the people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I would heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is said now unto the Gentiles. Why? Because the Jews rejected it, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these things, the Jews departed and had great reason among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in this rented house and received all who came unto him. This house became a church where Paul preached the word of God, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So Paul has 2 years in this house preaching the word of God and people coming from all over to hear the word of God. It was a preaching house, preaching the kingdom of God. We need preachers today. We need preachers who will preach the word of God in season and out of season, will preach the cross, death, burial and resurrection of Jesus. We need people that will do miracles. Yes, because Jesus said we would lay hands upon the sick and they would be healed. We see Paul in Malta healing the sick as they came to him, because he was given that gift. Why? Jesus said, you will lay hands upon the sick and you will be healed. Jesus said those things. It's very interesting that we say, well, you know, we don't need those things today. Well, if you were sick, I'm going to tell you, you need those things. You need those things today. We need healing today. We need that God would heal the people. Listen, I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel. And he said unto them, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that does not believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with entirely new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Jesus told us this in the 16th chapter of Mark. I wonder how many people believe Jesus. How many people believe Jesus that he wants the sick healed? Does that mean we don't go to doctors? No. We go to the best doctors and we go to the best prayers. The best doctors, I'll tell you, we need doctors. But we also don't stop with the doctors. We go on with the best prayers. I remember on Ash Wednesday many years ago, Emily brought her baby into my arms, and the baby's name is Grace. And I said, something shook within her. What's wrong with her bladder? I didn't know anything about her bladder. She said, she has a disease and she needs an operation. And I said to her, this baby has been healed. Don't give her an operation. Please take another CAT scan. And then I saw dollar signs. I said, I don't care how much it's going to cost you. This baby has been healed. Please have another CAT scan. Well, anyway, she told the doctor she wanted another CAT scan. The doctor said, no way. But then what happened is somebody missed the CAT scan, and they called Emily, and they took Grace to the CAT scan, and the baby was completely healed. They did it three times because they didn't believe that the child was healed. And the doctor's going around with the baby saying, this is my miracle baby. They think they did it. But that's okay. Who cares? Who gets the credit? God did it. Jesus did it. The Holy Spirit did it. That's what happened. Laying hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. The Lord said that's what we should do. That's what we should do, and that's what we should do. And if we don't do it, well, we're being disobedient. You might say, well, I don't know, you know, I'm not a priest. Well, I laid hands upon the sick way before I was a priest. I remember when I was in the seminary, somebody came to me and says, Father O.D. is ready for a healing. And I went to his room, knocked on his door, and I said, Father Hughes told me that you were ready for a healing. And he said, come in. And I asked him what it was, and I put my hands on his head, and I prayed, and it was only for a couple of seconds. And he said, I thought it was going to be long. I said, no, you can't take it if it was long. But the Lord healed him that day. The Lord healed him that day. God is a healer. Jesus is a healer. The Holy Spirit is a healer. But we are to proclaim the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul proclaimed it to the place in Malta. And you see, after people are healed, they're going to really say, you know, this guy has power, and let's listen to what he's saying. That you heal the sick, and then they want to really hear about Jesus, that Jesus gave his life for us, that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit. We need preachers who will do that. We need preachers who will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need them. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary. It will be done, it will be July 19th to July 25th. We are going to have a wonderful week doing this School of the Holy Spirit. We do it every year. Last year it was wonderful, July 19th to July 25th. And if you'd like to call somebody, you can call 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210. The School of the Holy Spirit, from the 19th of July to the 25th of July. Great things will happen. Why? Because we're coming in the name of Jesus, and we're believing that God is going to move by his Holy Spirit. It's a whole week of worship, a whole week of praise, a whole week of seeing the things that God wants to do. It's a whole week of being with the Lord. There'll be music, plenty of adoration, plenty of hearing the Word of God. And we're right near the ocean, so if you want to take a swim, you can go swimming across the street. So that's the School of the Holy Spirit between the 19th and 25th of July. And the telephone number is 617-846-1210, and we'll send you a brochure. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If you'd like to leave a donation on PayPal, it's www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. If you'd like to mail us something, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And on PayPal, www.inseason.net. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you. May he look upon you and give you his peace, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.